If you watched the news this past week, you saw the continuing war throughout the world between sin and God's grace. And watching all that conflict, you know, can be very, very disheartening and discouraging. And sometimes you wonder, man, what humanity can do when left on its own. I was taking a walk and in the neighborhood and sometimes stop and talk to this one fella. He's a good fella to talk with. And he just said, boy, I was talking to somebody else and I can't believe, you know, what our world has come to and some of the things. He had a realistic hopelessness about what humanity could pull off on its own. Okay, just the limitations of human nature. And how it ends up being hatred to neighbor, hatred to God, and just a lot of chaos. So the war between sin and the Lord, when you think about it, is the bottom root of most every conflict we have. It was pointed out in Sunday school that that's the case in the book of Revelation. All that happens in the future, you know, the result of people rejecting God himself and just going to war with each other about that. And so the war against the Lord and sin, the most widespread war on any given week. It's the longest war in the history of the human race, happening on a regular basis. It's the most personal war because we end up being a part of that on one side or the other. And so it's a pretty serious battle. Yeah, if you watch the news, I don't know if you ever considered the news being a half-hour time of confession, but you could certainly turn it into that, confession of the world's sin. Here we are at the nightly news at 6:30, and these are the 10 worst sins that we've gotten ourselves into this week. You know, and it can just break your heart, and you hope for the repentance and the moving toward God in good action from all that bad news. But if you draw battle lines, one side of the battle line we have our old sin nature, we're on the wrong side of things in terms of our nature. And then we have the secular world of people trying to run things on their own, and we have the devil. It's quite a bad axis of power there. Pretty intimidating. Sin nature, world secular system, pretty prevalent, and the devil. So that's one side. And the other side, we have the Lord God Almighty. And in this passage, we have, mentioned five times, the free gift. Okay. The free gift. And I hope you saw that as Ron read. The free gift, not like the trespass. The free gift of grace. The free gift from the one man, Jesus Christ. And so, as you look at the warfare between sinful humanity, which we would be a part of without Christ, and the Lord, you know, would say sin is insidious. We see it so much. It's overwhelming. But God is omnipresent. He's something bigger than insidious. That we could say, wait a minute. I want to see God honored in the most terrible of these conditions. And where sin abounds, God's goodness abounds all the more. You might think of your own life. Those times when you recognized your rebellion against God and your real true guilt, if you were open to God at all in the free gift of Christ, wasn't that a time where you said, his love is stronger than all the mess I've made? It really is. It can lift me up from death to life. If Jesus rises from the dead physically, certainly he could take care of my problems and things I've done against God, myself, and others. As we know that for ourselves, could you pray for that for the world? Where sin abounds, grace would abound all the more. We know we can't out-sin the grace of God. And so would it be fair to say the world cannot out-sin the good news of Christ? Cannot do it. Christ is stronger, and he will draw people to himself in the most terrible of times. So the Bible describes this conflict one way in Romans 5 over here. First comes when we're on the bad side, of going against God. Adam was our first representative, of course, a person in history, but also fell away from God, and we inherited those qualities in our own life. Our trespass from him is there. Our own trespass is there, constantly going out of bounds from God's commands. And there's judgment and condemnation. We feel that in our life. Secular counselors say that man walks around with a sense of anxiousness, and he's concerned about the impending meaninglessness of his own life without God. And so there's judgment, condemnation that a person feels. That those phrases, they're all in the passage that Paul had here in Romans 5. Death reigns. You know, we face that. Jesus conquers death, but it still hurts us because we miss our loved ones. And we face our own limitations on our deathbed. And there's disobedience of Adam and of our own selves. And then the gift comes. Something and someone much stronger, Jesus our Savior, on the good side of the battle, coming with the free gift that we need, that we don't have on our own. I remember being in a little Bible study where some peers were reading this for the first time. We were in our early 20s. And when we read the passage and it said, and Adam, you know, did this, and the trespass came, and one fellow animated would do this with the thumb, and judgment and condemnation, and death reigning, and disobedience. And that was life without Christ. And then every time the passage mentioned the obedience of the one man, the obedience of the one man, the free gift that he would give, you know, Christ would come to rescue us. He would do that. The Lord would bring righteousness and justification. We can't make ourselves right. God will do it. Brings the gift of eternal life instead of death. That's something you can know now. You know, not walking around with the shadow of death on your shoulder, but rather the goodness of God in your heart. And then the blessing of seeing God's help abound and be abundant, greater than the problems on the left side of the screen there. I was in another Bible studies, two of them, and asked the same question to the dear group of people, which is not a quick trick question, but people were just saying what they saw. I asked the question, what's more prevalent in the world today, God or sin? Okay, and you might answer that in your own soul. What's more prevalent in the world today, God or sin? And all of us who are veteran Christians pretty much said, oh, we know that, it's sin, you know. I mean, sin's all over the place where we look and see, and we look on our soul and we have that under conviction and so on. But when you look at God's Word, you would have to say, wait a minute. There's someone much bigger than sin, and the reality of who He is certainly can shine in the most terrible places of the human soul or in the world, and it would be God. God is everywhere, and He is more prevalent, even in a terribly fallen world, than sin itself. And we need to say that He's there. You know, He's going to do something about that. And Jesus is Lord in any given situation, moment by moment throughout history. And so to know that was part of Paul's goal. He uses words that talk about God's grace being really overwhelming. It abounded for many. There was an abundance of grace there. It abounded all the more. Somebody said, asked the question, how much do you think God is doing for, you know, a broken humanity? Is His goodness greater than the sin? I would say, oh, He abounds all the more. He abounds all the more. And we want to recognize that for our own soul and also for the broken world around us. That sin is devastating and hell is horrible, but the grace and free gift of God comes and can change you and I and change the dear world that God so loved. Remember, John said this. Jesus said it through John. For God so loved the world. Yeah, that world that's full of sin. Those people who are really screwed up, and we look and our pictures are in there. You know, God so loved that world that he gave his son. And so the news of Christ that can change any heart in any given situation, there for you and me. You're here today and you get in patterns of sin, feeling apart from God, maybe in worship. You start right there. Or maybe in terms of church. Church has become something you do instead of somebody you are. That's who you are with other people, by the way. That's your main identity in Christ. You'll be in eternity as the body of Christ. You won't be in eternity as a bunch of, you know, preachers or plumbers or ball players or whatever you're into. You should know that who you are is from God more than what you can produce in yourself. And so the grace of God given to a lost world. God could win the battle against sin in our lives and in the lives of other people. Steve Brown made this contrast again, showing the greatness of God. Sin is finite. God is infinite. There's a limitation on sin. Sin is temporary. It's going to pass away. We're glad about that. John said, you know, if you just connect with the world secular system, you'll have your 100 years of moment in the painful sun, and then that's it. But God's eternal. You could have his life in you. Sin is not new. There's nothing going on today, either in terms of rejecting of God or hatred toward humanity. That hasn't been going on since Genesis chapter 3. You know, no sooner do you get a little bit out of Genesis is where the first murder occurs. So it is not new. But God makes everything new. He could bring it back to himself. That's his whole goal, reconciliation, redemption. Sin destroys. Some to ask God to that you and I take sin very, very seriously. This is something I've sloughed off in my own life because I get so used to the sin. And sometimes in ministry, you know, you're gladly trying to bring good news to any sinful situation, including our own soul. But sin destroys. That's a Bible fact and a something we've all experienced. Sin destroys. But God gives life. And remember the truth from the Word. Sin is not everywhere. Okay? It is not everywhere. You do go to sleep. And you don't sin when you're sleeping. Okay? You do love your neighbor as yourself here and there. There's moments of, you know, glorious, joyful serving of God. Sin is not everywhere. And wars will cease. Okay? And people are hearing good news. And the question is, are you a part of the right side or are you a part of the left side? Just saying, whatever. That's a contemporary response to the left side. Whatever. It's not a healthy response. Okay, we pray. We say God will work. And Steve Brown tells a story of a man who adopted a stray dog. The dog was abused and very hurting in a shelter, animal shelter. So he gets the dog. The guy, Christian guy, takes it home. He starts to nurture the dog. And it's pretty tough on the dog. The dog never learned how to be a friend to anybody. That's what happens when you sin. Okay? Tuck that in your soul in terms of your ability to be a friend to people. Okay? Abused dogs do not know how to be a friend to anybody. So here's this dog. He's trying to learn how to trust this new owner. And the owner gives them protection, gives them food, gives them love. And pretty soon the dog is like a new little creature. And he sits next to his master, 100% trusting. You know, hears his voice with confidence. Knows he's loved, feels loved. Even able to come up to a stranger now and, you know, kiss the stranger on the knee or lick your hand and get it all wet. He's a new creature. And the owner of the dog said this, you know, when I look at that dog, I think of myself. Because what happened to that dog, my sin and the sin of the world around me did that to me. It did that to me. I mean, I just wiped out myself in this fallen world. But Jesus, my Lord, He came and He showed me His strength, His love, His protection, and a brand new life. And now I'm safe. I'm safe with Christ. Would you say that about your daily emotional and faith walk with God? Hey, you could be safe with Christ. Take a serious look at the sin in the world. You're not going to find any safety there. Take a look at your own soul without God. There's just pain there. But take a look at Christ. And who is He again? He's everywhere. He's greater than the sin. When the sin increased in your life, the light of God can be stronger. And so to put the lesson into practice, you know, with Adam, here we are, Adam fighting against God. Jesus comes, wins us over. And now you're on the redemption side of history. Two things you could do. Confess sin to God on a regular basis and ask God to show you the most rebellious places in your life that are obviously broken. You don't want to die without Him touching those areas. You know, just be like being a junked up car dragged off to the junk heap. But you know, God was in your life. That's not much good news there. But to know God's repair work in your soul. As we confess our sin to Him, His grace abounds. If sin increases, grace abounds all the more. Just be honest with God about that. You know, it helps me sometimes looking at the area of my life. Okay, how's the family life? Where does Christ need to touch? Spend a lot of time there. Fellowship with other believers. Who do I need to love? You know, who am I not loving? Let God work there. Responsibilities. Am I doing those? Or am I basically in life for, you know, for a trip down the lazy river down there at the, what do you call it, that place where all the water is? Water park. That's it. But, you know, Jesus didn't call us a trip down the lazy river. A couple times a summer, that's enough. Not the whole lifestyle. Okay. But to say where Jesus is sin and death and darkness. And if we say, yeah, I face that. I want Christ to come and bring life. Then we'll see the free gift. The free gift. See, grace will bring gratitude in your life. You don't have to shape up first. You say, I need the gift. The gift will shape you up and me up. Jesus, who He is. And then to intercede for the world. The world doesn't have a chance in any manner outside of who Jesus is. But the good news is the world cannot out-sin the grace of God. He's reached the worst of societies and brought light. He came where people were just constantly murdering each other and brutal and just totally ridiculous and brought new life in areas. And often He does it, through Christian missions. That's why you pray for missionaries, you give an offering for missions. Hey, honor the Lord that way and get the news out. But the obedience is not like the disobedience. The obedience of one man brought life to many. So would you say, Lord, bring that life to my soul and help me pass you on to others. Do it simply in the integrity of who you are and who God made you to be. And He'll draw you to Himself. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray for our own souls here before You. We know we don't want to be run by sin in our lives, especially if we're a believer. We're going to trip on ourselves from here until death. We know You came to give us life with Yourself, where there would be more light than evil. So we pray, starting where we live in our relationship with you, that you would let grace increase all the more. Doesn't matter how much sin increased, you're not intimidated or surprised by that at all. You would come in and do your good work to bring new life and redemption. And we pray that, Father, for the dear world that you loved. And in many times, Lord, it's a world waiting to hear about that love or to see that love in action. And as the lost guy or the atheist says, well, where's God? Maybe, Lord, through the grace of God, as one man said, he could say, well, I didn't see God, but I saw people who said that they were children of God. I saw God's people. So maybe there is a God if I saw God's people doing some good things and showing that gift of righteousness. They certainly weren't proud. They certainly were a servant group. So help us, Lord, to bring the good news of this free gift to people around us. As badly as we need it for our own soul, the world needs it as badly. So let's help us not to hog the gift, but to pass the gift on with your joy and thankfulness. Just hear us as we give our silent prayers to you in areas where we want you to bring from death, bring us life. Hear our silent prayers.